Lawson out, Sonoda in. This is episode 10 of Box Box Box. I'm Dom.
I'm Sam.
Roll the intro music.
Na 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 na. Lawson's getting sacked, Lawson's gotten sacked.
That he did.
Welcome back to Box Box Box. I'm Sam.
I'm Dom.
This is episode 10. I'll tell you, I think that's the first thing we've got to address. Like, never mind the Chinese Grand Prix right now. I thought it would have at least lasted till Japan, you know?
Two races.
That is a Red Bull record. Horner's like, oh, fuck this guy. Let's be honest. I mean, it comes to the point that Verstappen's like, it wasn't Checo. It wasn't Lawson. It's the car.
The car. And because Verstappen's been rolling that car for so long,
He knows how to drive it.
Obviously it's changed, but yeah, what a start. So I mean, we're straight in there, but I mean, what are we talking about this week? Obviously,
well, it's Chinese Grand Prix.
We're gonna talk about what, just without going into too much detail into it, like, so far, what would you rate the Chinese Grand Prix this year out of 10?
Yeah, 5.
I'd have said like a 4, maybe.
Or 5. Compared to Australia.
Yeah, that's a tough one to follow.
Like Australia was just out the gate, was an absolute wild card. And then obviously,
it was wild. So yeah, so obviously we're going to be recapping China. We're going to talk about the Red Bull RB switcheroo.
Yeah.
And obviously we're just going to touch on a bit regarding Eddie Jordan. Given yeah. that we lost him last Thursday. So,
yeah.
It's we've got a bit to talk about.
Yeah, there is, but not much time.
So, let's dive straight in. So,
I think first things first, that we've got to discuss about the Chinese Grand Prix is how many people were disqualified in the end?
Oh, you know what? I haven't even made any notes on that. But there was
Hamilton,
Leclerc, and yeah. Gasly.
He was over at say Gasly.
Yeah, Gasly!
Yeah. Like,
I actually didn't mention anything of that in my notes. I completely forgot. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because we would have gone the whole time going,
I mean, it's kind of one of those ones where, like, I know Lewis because the
Lewis is just because his skid plate was too small.
Yeah, it was too damaged on it, basically.
Lewis Hamilton got disqualified because his wood was too small.
Anyway.
I feel that short form content if ever heard it. Yeah,
the short form is actually back now. We sorted the video.
We're getting there. We've got a system in place now.
It's sensational. But yeah, I mean,
first of all, although we say that China wasn't as good as Australia, that first lights out to the first corner,
yeah,
that was chaos. Obviously, don't know if you remember, but it was Piastri, Russell, Norris on the at the front of the grid.
Yeah.
And Russell had a really... I watched it back a couple of times, that first bit, because Russell had a really strong start, but Piastri saw it coming and he moved.
Yeah, it was... For me, it's really showing the skill of... Well, it's weird now that, like, Piastri, Lando Norris... Well, Norris and Russell, they ain't rookies anymore.
No, well, they've... I think Piastri is probably the newest kid on the block out of the three of them.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that. I think McLaren recently have... it definitely feels like at the start, especially, it felt like McLaren was ganging up on George. Like,
yeah.
And I don't mean like in a bad way, but you could tell that because of how well McLaren took that first corner and yeah. Norris took... Well, yeah, Norris took P2 from George literally into the second corner, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, and that's literally within the first 30 seconds of the race, it's like, boom. And yeah, so fair play to Lando for picking it up. I mean, yeah. George did really well. He had a fantastic start, but...
Yeah, he drove well through the whole race, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a few questionable strategies from Ferrari, again. However, we have got to give the fair dues to Leclerc for driving with a damaged front wing for the whole race.
Yeah, the whole race. Have you seen that meme of George Russell where, like, he's doing the T-pose?
Yeah, he's missing a hand.
And it's like Leclerc's race throughout the whole... Yeah.
Honestly, mate, it was... And like that's why I was a little bit devastated when I saw he got disqualified, because I was like, he drove so hard, and obviously his car's not going to be as aerodynamic.
No, it's not. Well, because Leclerc got disqualified for being underweight, wasn't
he? Yeah, so he's like a kilo underweight or something.
It's ridiculous. I mean, an end plate on a wing ain't going to be a kilo.
No, it ain't.
A front wing isn't going to be a kilo. So
no, but it's still one of those ones where obviously like his car's going to have worked harder because it's not as aerodynamic.
I do feel for him.
I did. And with Lewis as well. Like, obviously, like, I think it was a stupid move when Ferrari made him switch.
Yeah. Well, that's in my, like, quick summary notes throughout the race. So,
yeah,
we can touch on that. But I think after the first corner, I literally got Leclerc loses end plate on front wing.
Yeah.
So, in a minor tap. I can't remember who that was with. I think it might have been Verstappen.
Maybe.
Because I know Verstappen bumped up a place to fourth, I think, maybe.
What I will say, it's one of those ones where I was amazed the FIA didn't make him box and put any wing on.
Yeah, well...
When your nose on.
Essentially dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, I'm jumping ahead a bit here, but do you remember Tsunoda's wing?
Yeah.
Front wing just exploded.
Yeah, and they boxed him and put your nose on.
That's understandable because that literally obliterated his front wing completely.
Yeah, but I will say I felt for Hamilton though again because he was dropped because obviously we got to talk about the sprint as well.
Oh God, yeah, again. And I realized when we did the Australia recap video and we were talking about predictions for China, didn't even mention that it was a sprint race.
No,
and then the episode before that, it was like, oh yeah, there's a sprint race in China. So it's just
we're a bit useless at this at times.
It's one of them, isn't it? Like
people. But it's one of those ones, mate, where like the sprint, it was great. I love the sprint.
The sprint was really good.
For me, I don't know if I think it's Lewis Hamilton's first ever sprint he's won as well.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure if it's Hamilton's first sprint, but I know it's Ferrari's first sprint win.
Yeah.
It might be Hamilton's as well. I really don't know.
Because the sprint is still a newer thing to F1.
Yeah. I think it's only been around like 5-6 years, maybe.
Yeah.
We should research that and find out.
Yeah, like it was like it's one of those ones for me. It showed it just shows that when Lewis hasn't got to listen to race strategy from Ferrari
he could just drive. Just shows that Ferrari, when they don't need to pit, fantastic,
unbelievable. But that when they're not getting involved in the driver strategies,
yeah,
just let them drive, and when they need to pit, that's when you pit.
Well, that's the thing as well. Obviously, so the race ended with Leclerc finishing in front of Hamilton.
Yeah.
Which is surprising considering Leclerc drove the whole race and had no front wing. Well, no end plate on his front wing.
Yes and no, because again, like the positions were swapped.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's surprising that Ferrari made them swap.
Then obviously Hamilton went and boxed and put on
fresh hards
and just pushed the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the tie whisperer on hard, you know, that guy is.
He is. Well, I think, obviously, after talking about the first corner, Leclerc's end plate going missing, another, I don't want to say exciting, but notable thing to talk about would be a Bortoletto span out and ended up dead last after it, understandably, because I think, I don't know whether it was the first or second lap, I know it was very early on, but... He span out, ended up dead last, and still came 17th. Didn't come last.
So he actually finished now 14th.
Oh yeah, because of all the
disqualifications. Yeah, because of the qualifications, he finished 14th.
You know what? I haven't even got in my race results. I haven't got that written down because of the But what else? I mean, Alonso's retirement on lap 4 as well because
his
brakes were on fire.
Yeah.
What was that about?
And Lance Stroll finishing again in the single digits.
I know. Well, I mean, the other thing to, I mean, he, without including the disqualifications, he would have come 12th. So, but yeah, obviously he's been bumped up and got points.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is not necessarily related to race statistics and things like that. But do you find that, I think this year especially, the camera operation and like the angles and everything that we're getting on any of the broadcasts that you see, I've seen a lot of people discussing it on TikTok, and I feel like I noticed this and then saw people discussing it, and I was like, oh, and I've been dying to talk to you about this for a couple of days, but I didn't want to say anything to obviously
trip it off, yeah.
But I find it's really bad. Like they seem to be they're not focusing on where the action is.
No, it's like when was it Hadjar when he came off in Australia?
Yeah,
like literally, like it was it didn't even cut to him. He was just in bending into
the wall. It was like formation up, and then it's just like, oh, Hadjar's come off, and then it just pans to him, his car in the wall.
Just cuts to him,
and we're like, okay.
Obviously, with Sky Sports F1, you get the multicam.
Yeah.
So obviously, I remember watching it back, and you just see him spin it. But I'm like, I wanted to see this from multiple. I want to see the action.
Well, they did the replay of it like while the race was suspended, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or postponed or whatever. And
he's basically under a red flag on it.
Yeah, and it's like, but even I noticed it while we were watching China at F1 Arcade.
Yeah,
that it seemed all the interesting action was and stuff that they were talking about a lot of the time. And I know that the commentators are sat in a box watching it on screens, and they've obviously got multiple angles so they can see stuff.
Yeah,
but like the actual live broadcast just really felt. I don't know.
It didn't feel polished.
Yeah, it's...
And the thing with F1, obviously, literally...
Like, I suppose it's a director's job, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a broadcast director.
Someone that's kind of camera one, camera six, whatever.
Yeah, normally they're calling the cameras as they're coming up. But it's still one of those ones where... Like the cars alone, I don't know if you know that, they have like seven cameras on them now.
Yeah.
Like the little hub, it's got like the car's basically got 360s worth of cameras. Then there's the little camera that does the helmet.
Yeah. Oh, and then they've got
the helmet cam, which
the front wing cam.
Which some drivers have helmet cams, some drivers don't.
Yeah. And then there's one on the spoiler pointing backwards as well.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot. I watched, I think it was a voice documentary on the F1 camera.
Nose driver 60 something. I saw the same one. Yeah,
they talk about like the camera that weighs like 60 grams or something silly like that.
Yeah,
and you're like, huh?
Yeah, and it's got like four, it's got like seven, like 6K cameras in it or something. But because they're all like carbon fiber chassis, super like crazy stuff. But yeah, honestly, mate, like it's just one of those ones where like it's, I don't know, the coverage has been a bit mid this year.
I really do think it has been subpar.
What I did see, talking of F1 coverage, and this is why Sky Sports, you need to up your game. Have you seen the latest upgrade to F1 TV Pro that the Americans have? They now have their own inbuilt multi-viewer into the web browser. So literally you can just select like 10 drivers and the race, and it'll just lay it all out.
Matt.
And have like all the race stats.
Need that in my life.
NordVPN. This video.
Come sponsor us, Nord. We know you want it.
Look, we haven't had the Raid Shadow Legends sponsor offer yet.
Yeah.
That's when you know you've made it. Oh, dude.
You know, if someone would like to sponsor us,
yeah,
hit us up. Hit us a message. We'll shout you out. We'll wear your clothes. We'll do something. If you ask Sam nicely, he might do something else. I was thinking about sticking one of the stickers on your race car, personally. You find out the gutter.
Get your man out of good.
Oh, but no. Anyway, so while we're on the topic of bad camera coverage or whatever, Piastri took his first pit. Well, I think he was the first person to pit as well, alongside Russell behind him.
Yeah.
Lap 15. And that note is what made me bring up the camera thing, because it was like, oh, Piastri's in the pits. And the camera was still on like Norris. And it's like, Norris is at the front. We don't need to see like.
I'm pretty sure back in the day, like when if somebody went into the pits, or as we now call it, boxing.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Basically, if you remember back in the day, they'd like go split screen.
Yeah.
So they'd have like.
They'd do picture in picture.
Yeah, well, they do picture in picture, or they'd split it so you'd have the race on one side and the box and the pit session.
It's just, yeah. But I think it's just, It actually like really annoyed me. And especially when I started seeing people on the internet talk about it, and I was like, it's not just me and my autism.
You felt heard.
Yeah, you it felt was just heard. Like, oh, okay, yeah, good, good.
You felt heard. But honestly, though, mate, like, it really was like, it's kind of one of them ones where like, I was really hoping to see Lewis catch Verstappen.
You and me both.
Like,
it was one of those where I think I've got a note somewhere where, oh, lap 53, Verstappen takes P4, but not without a fight from Leclerc. And that was obviously after the Ferrari switcheroo.
Yeah.
And considering they got, well, there was a big fight, really. Well, I say big fight. It only lasted like 6-7 turns, but it was,
yeah.
You could see Leclerc was giving it everything to hold him back. And I think maybe if his car was in full working order, probably would have been able to hold him back at least a bit longer, if not the entire race.
Yeah.
And I think then Verstappen would have split the Ferraris, but.
I will say, like, even though I know we're not Verstappen's biggest fans, well, I don't know, we're kind of in that weird...
We are warming to him.
We are warming.
Still think Helmut Marko's a better...
But... And so's Horner.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of them ones where, like, it's...
Horny Horner.
Horny Horner, yeah. Oh, Dom, speaking of which, what are you wearing?
Force India.
Oh, nice.
I felt like, because Force India is a... Well, Force India originated as Jordan back in the day, which... Which no, Aston Martin.
We can get onto that in a little bit as well. But yeah, wait. No, but with Verstappen, it's like whenever you watch him overtake, his ability to react is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like Verstappen's, it's one of them for someone that spent so long at the front of the grid with next to zero challenges.
Yeah.
It really makes you think, like, how has he not forgotten how to actually race?
Yeah,
his car was so
fast
and dominant.
Well, the only challenges he would have would be the first corner.
Yeah,
then after that he was gone.
And it's not like he's got to worry about Perez.
No.
So
or Sonoda now.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, I agree, Verstappen's is all right. He's all right.
Something I do want to talk about, which we spoke about on the first episode, going back to the Liam Lawson Sonoda thing as well, is if you remember, we spoke about how
it was
Lawson's out. Checo's out, Lawson's in.
Yuki deserves justice.
And Yuki has got the justice, but I feel it's a bit of a trap for him now.
Well, that's the thing. I saw a lot of memes because obviously this...
and I really feel sorry for him.
We're recording this episode on literally the day before it goes out because we fell back into that trap a little bit again. But
well, we've had a busy week.
And
we've got a better process these days.
Yes, we have. And I think we... Obviously, because we're recording it on Thursday, we have... Obviously, the news got announced to us as we're recording this morning.
Yeah.
But the past 24 hours, the internet's been going on about Liam Lawson is going to go back to VCarb and Yuki Tsunoda's going to come up. And it's all, like, my dad and my sister, it's what we've been talking about pretty much.
Yeah.
And I've been saying, no, Liam isn't losing the Red Bull seat just yet. Yuki will... I think Yuki may get promoted, but at this point in time...
No,
like,
just...
Oh, yeah, it's all speculation.
No, it's all officially been announced now.
No, I know it has now, but yeah. Over the last... That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, the last 24 hours, it's all been backward and forward, but
everyone's been saying that Yuki's going to go to Red Bull, and I'm like, yes, I understand all the rumours behind it, but it's not being confirmed yet.
But now it is.
Now, I literally woke up this morning, looked at my phone, and the first thing that I saw was... Yuki Tsunoda has been promoted to Red Bull. And it was like, okay, justice for Yuki. But I was talking to...
I really hope, though, because Yuki's a great driver. And it's going to be interesting now, if Lawson does go back to VCarb, to see how he does at VCarb.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then we know if it's the car or if it's the driver.
Well, apparently the VCarb car is meant to be really easy to drive, pretty much. Like, it's
Because I would love... You know, I'd love to see now, and this is no disrespect to Yuki, because I love Yuki to bits.
Well, we've seen that the VCarb car at the moment...
It's fast.
It's really quick. Like, yeah, they are.
So I'm intrigued to see now if we have a bit of a switcheroo where Yuki is in a similar place to Lawson was.
Yeah.
And Lawson's then in a similar place where Yuki was in VCarb. That's kind of the ultimate. Well,
it's the car.
It's a wake up call to Red Bull, but they don't want to accept that the car's the problem.
Yeah. Because Verstappen knows how to drive it, he can drive it well.
Yeah.
But the point is, if the Red Bull car was any, if it was a little bit better to drive or a little bit easier to drive,
yeah,
imagine how much more dominant that it would be.
Oh, it'd be a beast.
But Yeah, the point...
That's the thing with the McLaren, because with the new McLaren, it's apparently quite an easy car to drive, and it's fucking fast.
Yeah.
So, it's a rocket ship, that is.
But I mean, coming back to the thing with Yuki moving into Red Bull, in that 24-hour window where everyone's saying, yes, he's going to get promoted, everyone was saying he's being promoted, but nothing was confirmed. But I saw a lot of people saying, and there's been a lot of memes circulating where people are like, we're really happy for Yuki to get a seat in the Red Bull finally after all these years. And it's like, it's career suicide for Yuki. What are we going to do? Pardon me. Yeah.
So I think for me,
it is a catch 22.
Second seat in Red Bull is very much like what happens when when championship winners and let's say, for example, world championship winners go to Ferrari. It feels like a bit of a career suicide. And I mean that in the nicest of respects, because, you know, I really want to see Lewis do well.
I was going to say something, but I didn't want to trouble you with the cutting it out, because it definitely would have had to have been cut out. So I'll tell you what I wanted to say later.
Okay, but I'll hold you to that.
That second Red Bull
I'm intrigued to see how controversial this is, because I might just leave it in.
No. It's not controversial. It's just straight up offensive.
Okay, fine.
But not to like... it's a personal offensive matter. It's okay. It's like throwing shade at yourself.
Well. Anyway.
Oh no!
As we were saying, so yeah, with Yuki, it's really going to be interesting now. Japan.
Should we make? I know we keep making bets at like shababs, but can we just make like this one time, totally not for £5 here at all? How long do you think Yuki's going to see the seat for? I'm gonna say, and we'll play Price is Right, whoever's closest.
Highest.
I reckon he's going to do 8 races and then he won't be in the seat anymore, basically.
No, I'm not giving that.
Go on.
I'm giving him 3 races and it's going to go to Isaac Ajar.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to write down here. I said 8. Dom,
find Yuki. Out when Yuki gets booted, who is closest?
Just because of Red Bull being the thing. And you're saying 3?
Yeah.
To Isaac. Sound. To be fair, I was talking to someone.
Christian Horner's going after Kimi Antonelli.
Well, I was talking to someone about the fact of a Yuki. Well, that second Red Bull seat. Who's going to get it? And everyone,
you know, who actually could genuinely get it. And I know he's at Williams, but Carlos Sainz could get it.
Yeah, I don't think he will. You know, there was talks of. Franco Colapinto going to V-Carb on loan, apparently. Again, I think that was rumours, but Franco Colapinto.
Well, the thing is, if all jokes aside, it could actually go into any of the actual reserve drivers.
Yeah, is anyone?
It could go to not Alonso. What next?
Bottas.
Valtteri Bottas. Yeah, his name went clean out my head then, and I love that.
It happens. I think
they could bring Checo back.
Well, I was talking to someone about it all, and they were saying, what's your opinion? Do you think that they're going to give the seat to Yuki? And obviously, I've been I've been stuck on top of this hill saying that Yuki won't go to Red Bull because of the whole Red Bull Honda's engine relationship ends with Red Bull after this season. Yuki's contract is also up this season as well. So that's another thing that we'll talk about, the whole contract ending in a second, because that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
But my point was, why would they bump Yuki up if his contract's up, and the speculation between Honda's engines and Honda only going to Aston Martin is then... They would put Hajar, I was predicting, they'd put Hajar in the Red Bull seat because he's driven really well. But then once Yuki's contract's up, where's he going to go? And if he's tied with Honda so deeply, and Honda are going to Aston Martin, I don't know when Alonso's contract's up or Stroll's, but
Stroll's trying to go fucking anywhere.
I was going to say, Daddy Stroll's got the choice then of, do we bring in Yuki Tsunoda? Is this a possibility? And if we do bring in Yuki Tsunoda, who's going? Alonso or Stroll? Like, I don't know. I feel like Lance Stroll, as well as he has been performing this season so far, and yes, it's only been 2 races, but as well as he has been performing, I think that we might not get another year out of Lance Stroll.
What you got to think as well with Lance Stroll,
I think he might be a bit bored. I think he might be done with it.
The thing with Lance Stroll, what you also have to remember is it's not just about the fact that his dad owns the thing. One thing is, yeah, his dad owns the race team, but he's going to have a board of directors.
Yeah.
And if they're not happy with it, then they're going to say, look, we're blowing all this money. We can get a better driver in.
Yeah.
But it could also be Alonso, because Alonso's been in the sport for a very long time. And he's very close to, well, he's literally the oldest driver on the grid, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, by far. Well, I think Hamilton's 5 years behind him. But you've got to ask yourself the question, because Alonso's already retired once.
Yeah, for Alonso's 43.
Oh, so he's in 3 years
behind him. But it's kind of one of them ones where, for me, like Alonso, I'm not saying he's lost it, because he's a legend.
No, yeah, well, where did he finish?
He didn't finish.
Oh, yeah.
DNF. Yeah. Stupid dog. But yeah, it's kind of one of those ones where we love Alonso. I mean, Alonso's in his he's in his Kimi era now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of just not giving a fuck.
Very much so.
He's in his Kimi era. But it's kind of one of those ones also where, for me, I just think maybe it's time to get some new blood into the team. They could replace both drivers.
They could. Well, what you've got to remember, I think, is this season, the only two teams that kept their driver lineup coming from 24 into 25.
Which was McLaren.
McLaren and Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Everyone else had a switch up. Yeah. Some teams kept one driver. Some
like Mercedes, Red Bull.
But some teams had a completely new lineup, Stake.
Williams had a new lineup as well, didn't
Haas,
they?
Yeah. Williams had signs come in, but Albon was still part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was Stake and... no, Alpine hasn't changed it, but Haas, because they had Oliver Behrman and Ocon come in, so...
You know, Ollie Behrman's did all right.
He did. I've got to give him credit. There's a note that I've got here. It was lap 33, Behrman takes P15 from Jack Doohan. And then lap 36, he takes P13 from Sainz. I don't know how the bump up from 15, and I didn't make a note about 14. And then Behrman takes P10 from Gasly. So, yeah, and he finished.
Gasly.
Yeah, Behrman finished P10. So, but with the disqualifications, where would he have got to? I've got him on P10 on my sheet.
I've got him on P10 on mine.
Oh. The Ferraris.
Hang on, are you on about Behrman?
Yeah.
Oh, P8.
Yeah. Yeah, because he had the two Ferraris. And, Pierre Gasly finished 11th outside the points anyway. So, yeah, that makes sense. That's how Stroll got into the points.
I mean, I'll tell you that. Like, should we talk about who's the constructors and who's winning and leading by what so far?
Yeah, I actually don't have any notes on that. I know that McLaren are at top. And Lando Norris still has the drivers.
So, current drive champion so far is Lando, followed by Verstappen.
How many points behind is Verstappen?
I don't know. You're asking me to. I don't do maths. But constructor again is McLaren so far on 78 points, followed by Mercedes and then Red Bull. But you know what's mad? Williams is in four.
What's mad is Red Bull are third. And all of those points are from Max Verstappen.
It's mad, isn't it?
Imagine where Red Bull would actually be if they had a car that was coming at least one or two places behind Verstappen and getting those extra points. It wouldn't be a massive difference, but it'd be enough. It might bump them up or make the fight a little bit closer. I think, So, I mean, looking back at the race here now, seeing... I'd noticed while we were talking about Stroll as well. So Stroll was kind of a back marker at the point, but this would have been around laps between 15 and 18, I think it was. So still fairly early on in the race, about a third of the way through. But Stroll, Russell and Norris, and like I said, Stroll was a back marker, but watching Stroll kind of, he wasn't shown a blue flag, so he didn't have to move over for them.
Yeah.
And usually, obviously, that is the case. You know, the blue leaders flag are coming. The leaders are coming up. Stroll's obviously about to be lapped, but no, Stroll weren't having none of it, and he was defending. It didn't last very long.
No, but he did put up a good fight.
He did really, really put up a good fight, considering there was Russell and Norris fighting him.
And to be honest, they're in quicker cars as well.
Yeah, quite considerably quicker. As I said, I would say
2026. I mean, we talk about how good 25 has been so far, but 26 is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a lot of new cars. You've got the first proper year of Newey's Aston Martin. You're going to have Cadillac.
I think we can start getting excited for 2026 once we've got a couple of driver changes starting to come through, because obviously there's a lot of contracts that are up this year.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to get silly season out of the way first. We're two races into the season and we've already had one driver move. So
that's true. I'll tell you though, you know what? Round the corner, it is Suzuka.
Suzuka.
But we have got a week off.
We have got a week off.
And you know what? I love Formula One, but waking up at fucking 4 o'clock in the morning or finishing work and then going straight back to another gig. I love it. I love F1 Arcade. It's so much fun.
But it's taken a toll on us the past couple of weeks, hasn't it?
My missus has just been watching me get up and getting in bed. I'm like, okay, bye. She's like, Sunday coming up. And like, I'm like, no, I'm going to bed.
I'm going
to bed.
Well, for me, obviously, I'd like you to talk to everyone about your F1 experience over this weekend. But for me, so obviously last weekend, I finished work, caught the postponed start. Or delayed start. There was this word for it and I can't remember what it is.
It's postponed start, I think it is.
Was it abort? No.
Aborted start.
Either way.
You're in Australia, yeah?
Yeah, with the incident in Australia, I finished work at 4, the race, well, first formation laps meant to start at 4, and with everything that went on, I managed to catch up and watch the race live. Fantastic. And I watched it at work after everyone had left.
Yeah.
Me and a couple of the bar staff members, we just sat and enjoyed it. It was quite good.
Yeah.
And then obviously you were hosting
at F1 Arcade.
F1 Arcade for that. And then the weekend just gone, I literally finished work again at 4 in Hereford, drove all the way from Hereford back home to Birmingham, picked up my dad and my next door neighbour at like 5:30 in the morning, got in my car, drove straight into Birmingham, parked up, met Sam at F1 Arcade, and cold pie in my hand at like 6 a.m. like, and I could just feel the judgmental looks from a lot of people. I'm just sat there and I'm like, look, it's still Saturday night to me.
I've just finished work. Do you know what it was for me to not have a pint at that time, you know?
I think I had 6. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but I don't think I saw you without a fresh pint in your hand at all times.
Yeah, I felt like I deserved it, especially after the 2 weeks.
I will say, like, again, so I'd finish at 2 a.m. Man, we're dying, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I'd finish at 2 a.m. Cuba. Then on the first week, I literally went back to my car and I sat in my car for half an hour.
Yeah, because it was a little bit of it was an earlier start last week.
Yeah, literally. Then walked over to F1 Arcade, started the race, did the hosting, and then literally went home and died. I did Schloss on the night as well. Mm-hmm. I did Schloss at 11 o'clock.
On the Sunday? Yeah.
I did that twice in a row. And obviously this week for China, literally. Finished Cuba, went home, went had a nap. My missus is like, wake up, you gotta go to work. I was like, no, I'm comfortable. But then I got out the house. I was like, it's race day, let's go.
I was gonna say, I rang you at what time, didn't I? Like,
are you awake?
Are you awake? Because it was getting really close to like when the watch party started. Yeah. And I was like, are you awake? Are you awake?
Literally.
I was a little bit concerned.
But you know, it's kind of one of the ones like I'll say.
The turns of table to that moment in time.
So it's normally me calling him to wake him up. But no, it's one of those ones where, like, I think it was, I love F1 and I'm really grateful for the opportunities. I do, it's great.
But we get a Sunday off and we can just finish work and go to bed.
Well, to be honest, mate, you know, I'm going to finish the master. I'm going to get it off our drive. It's been sat on our unit drive for about 2 weeks.
It's been a while now, but it's getting there.
Yeah, it is. But as you talk about
Suzuka, the break, before we do get onto Suzuka, we'll talk about the F1 break.
Yes.
So me and my dad were talking, because obviously it's here in the UK, it's Mother's Day this Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm going obviously for a meal with mum, obviously really close family. Yeah. Nice. Give mum a break, all that. And it seems like a fantastic idea, but me and my dad were talking about it. My mum's been a little bit, I imagine she's felt a bit left out because me and my dad are going and doing the F1 and stuff and being up very early in the morning and things like that.
Yeah.
But, starting to piss my mum off, understandably. But to get in the good books, no one grasped me up for this either, because I'll fucking kill you if you do. Me and my dad have told my mum, like, right, mum, the F1's on this Sunday, but because it's Mother's Day, and we know that you've put up with a lot from us over the past couple of weeks with the F1 and constantly talking about it, we're not going to watch the F1 this Sunday just for you. Am I a bad person?
That's scumbag behaviour, as you know.
Just to get us in the good books for next week when we need to watch it.
You know, let's hope to God that this doesn't make it to short, that this isn't being published on every...
I might put it in a short and see how long it takes my mum to notice. She probably doesn't even realise it's me. Oh, is this on the internet? Looks like you. Oh, that looks a bit like Sam as well.
Do you know what makes me laugh? The amount of people who come up to you. I'm sick of seeing your fucking face on TikTok, you know? but you know what? Like, yeah, F1, I think the thing that's fun about F1 on the watch party is, though, it's even though everyone's tired and everyone is like, oh, I got up at God knows what time
especially
to be
at. Especially the early ones.
Especially the early ones. It's the, everyone's always up for a laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, the thing that was class about this weekend, it was the amount of people who rocked up in like old school Jordan merch.
Yeah.
And obviously we did lose Eddie Jordan.
We did. Well, there's...
We have got a full episode planned for Eddie Jordan. That's going out next week for the break.
So next week, obviously, it will be our pre-Japan predictions.
Yeah.
And I mean, fitting with Japan and Jordan and Honda, because you know me, but Mugen Honda as well.
You love it.
That 198 Jordan's absolutely sensational. But yeah, so, I mean, we were talking about F1 Arcade. So next week is obviously the Japanese Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And the week after, we've got, talking about tired, we've got an absolutely chaotic. So this would be Sunday the 13th of April, which falls on the day of a great car show hosted in the UK at Silverstone.
Oh God, have I got to get my Mazda running for then?
Yeah.
Shit.
You got like 2.5 weeks, basically.
It's getting tuned next week, I think.
That's good. Well, you were talking about everyone being tired at F1 Arcade and whatnot.
Yeah.
So the first proper watch party that falls well into the UK time, I mean, it's same for people watching at home as well, is Bahrain, which is technically 3 weeks away from us now.
Yeah.
But that's, so I think race starts at 4 p.m. Yeah, 13th of April. Yeah. So
doors open at F1 Arcade at 2 p.m. Come see your boy. I'm there.
Was it 2 hours before?
Yeah, 2 hours before.
I thought it was only one.
No, 2 hours. Yeah. Mm. 2 hours, the more you know.
I suppose the early ones, there's no point in them opening.
No.
Yeah, 2 hours before, because no one's going
to
rock up.
Well, simulator's going an hour before. Yeah. Door, like, I'm there an hour before just to...
Hot everyone up.
Yeah, wind people up.
Push the tempo. But yeah, I just thought...
Touch a nerve on Verstappen fans.
I'm not looking forward to Bahrain purely because that day... Well, the day before, we're both going to be real tired. So yeah, it's going to be a wild one.
Yeah, like it is, and it's kind of on the one. So we've got a show on, I think, as well that weekend.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. The day before, we've got a show on.
Yeah,
we've got chaotic. That is going to be.
That is going to be a day of me going. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? If we do have any petrol heads, let us know and I'll post a video of how obnoxious my turbo flutter is off the Mazda. It is obnoxious.
It is obnoxious.
Should probably go start it up in a bit. But yeah, honestly, like I'm excited for the next couple of races. I'm excited now to see Yuki in Red Bull.
It should be good. I am excited to see him. I genuinely do think, even though, I mean, well, you said three. He'll last three races. I said eight. But I think he's actually going to do quite well in the...
I hope to Christ I'm wrong. I really do.
I feel the same way. I hope that I hope he sees it. Either he sees out the seat for the rest of the season. If they put Lawson back in for whatever reason, I don't imagine they will.
I don't think they would. I think they'd try another driver. They won't go back.
Yeah. Maybe if they put Yuki in and Yuki performs equally as badly, then maybe they'd put Lawson back in to be like, okay, maybe we're a bit harsh. But that's, again, that's not very fair on Lawson, really, is it? On Tsunoda?
Yeah. So. One thing I will say that I would love to see as well, I'd love to see the V10s back.
Yeah, well, there was that rumor before, wasn't it?
But one thing I think we were speaking about as well with the pit stops, I want to see refueling back.
Yeah, I think...
I know it's dangerous, but I think it would make... It'd break up the race a little bit.
Yeah, and it would make it...
Either that or rapid like battery recharging or something.
Yeah, actually, that'd be a good show.
Because obviously, the problem with that, well, they could have like pre-charged packs that's got like a massive, boom, yeah, drop like it it's like a 5 second charge and it can just dumps lithium cells.
Yeah. Or just completely change them. Like, yeah. It wouldn't be that hard, really.
Where it just drops out and up and down. It's kind of one of them ones where I think that there needs to be something to done to make the pits a little bit more interesting. I mean, the most exciting thing now for me is when they stack.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the McLaren stack, I think, I don't know, that was Australia, wasn't it?
Ferrari are pretty good at a stack.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, Mercedes are the kings of the stack pit, you know.
Yeah.
Mercedes are the king of the stack in a pit. But I'll tell you, I'll be honest, man, I think we're running out of time. I think this is a nice short and sweet episode.
So yeah, I think before we do disappear.
Now he's.
Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord.
I am Lord. Yeah.
I think before we do disappear, obviously, just touch ever so slightly on a little bit, I don't want to say a tribute to Eddie Jordan, but...
we've got a full episode planned for that.
Yeah, I think it's just worth mentioning, obviously, just a couple of things. I haven't got anything written down for it at all. I didn't think... I'm just spitballing ideas in my head here, but obviously he owes... Well, a lot of people owe the start of their career to him. I mean, you educated me. I think it was last episode that
Shuey.
That he brought Shuey in for his first ever F1 race, which was wild. And then Benetton snapped him up, which is kind of like what happened a little bit with Piastri at McLaren.
Yeah.
Because he was with, was it Alpine, I think? But yeah.
Yeah, I think he was.
So that was crazy. But yeah, I mean, Eddie Jordan owes everyone... It owes a lot to Eddie Jordan. He did bring a lot into the sport. Obviously, his podcast that he did, Formula for Success, don't know what the crack is with that going forward. But Eddie Jordan and David Coulthard obviously hosted it. And I don't know. I haven't actually checked.
Do you know what I love as well? I always loved the relationship between Brundle and Eddie Jordan.
Yeah.
They'd rip the shit out of each other, but you could tell it was like all love and they were just good friends.
I do remember the one interview where Brundle was asking Jordan, he's like, oh, your car's looking really fast this year. Like, let him know it's because you're not driving it anymore. And he was a character in the sport. Definitely one of my favourites that I've obviously touched on
before. I agree.
So, yeah, next week we're going to dig into Eddie Jordan, a little bit of the history.
Yeah, I've got a good basis that episode written out already.
I've got a few things written.
We'll actually compare notes on that one and we'll make sure we've got a nicely produced episode.
So
it won't be winged like this one. It's actually going to be nicely inscripted and planned out.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean... It comes down to, obviously, with Eddie Jordan starting the careers for a lot of people, it brings it to the point that Jordan, the team anyway, is still alive in Aston Martin today. So
yeah, exactly. And
I don't know if you saw that Aston Martin ran the four-leaf clover on the side of their car.
Yeah.
A red one in for Eddie over the weekend. So,
I mean, what would have been lovely if Aston Martin would have raced in yellow.
Yeah, I think...
But I think that was too much, too little...
It was too short notice, wasn't it, really?
They may do it at Japan.
Yeah.
We don't know. We'll find out. I mean, that I think...
If they was to race in yellow for Japan, that'd be...
Yeah.
I think I'd probably tear up a bit, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'd be same.
Like, oh, wow, sorry. And if they put that Hornet on the front...
If they just put the Hornet on the car somewhere.
Yeah, I might message my buddy Lawrence later, see what he's saying.
No, I might message Lance.
Are there any Milton Keynes? Oh, no, it's Red Bull at Milton Keynes, isn't it? Where's Aston Martin?
Silverstone, aren't they?
No, there might be. Is it Surrey? I don't know. Aston Martin F1 HQ. Sam's doing the Google.
Silverstone?
Fuck it, I'm going for a drive.
Mate, we're going on the 13th.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be for the weekend. I'm going to go hit up my buddy Lawrence, see what he's saying.
Every overnight.
I might, you know what, I'll just mock one up on F1, like I did with the Asperos one before. Just mock up an Aston Martin livery.
That'd be amazing. Colours.
Anyway.
Other than that.
I think it's been, like you say, it's been a short but sweet episode, but it's been good. It's been good. For what was a
mid
4 out of 10 race.
Mid-race.
It was...
Japan's always a great race, though.
I am so looking forward to Japan. Yes, it's an early start again, but...
Worth it.
Worth it for the...
Worth it. Suzuka's a great race. But where can you find us, Dom?
So, you can find me at DJ Don Cook on pretty much everything. What about you, Sam?
You can find me everywhere at Sentio Silvano.
And you can find all things podcast related at BoxBoxBoxPod on pretty much everything. I think we've hit them all there,
which yeah,
is good. So,
and we will have merch dropping soon.
Soon. I'll have a surprise for you on the Japanese. Well, the Japanese review. So pre-Bahrain. Oh, no, God. Good surprise.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
It's a gift. There you go. I've got you a gift.
I would like to make it clear before we go. When I had my accident in my car, which we talk about in the Get to Know episode, this man from my birthday bought me a t-shirt that said...
It wasn't your birthday.
Was it...
We went to Drivers HQ to do something, and I was showing off the new Car Club merch. And as I was showing it off, I was like, oh, Sam, I've made you a special t-shirt.
No, you said, I've got this one of a kind. And here you go, Sam. I've looked it over and it said, had a picture of my crashed car and said, Audi managed that. In his defense, I did start this.
I was going to say, like, you started that war.
So, made him a t-shirt with his crashed Honda that says, Honda's hugging trees since 93. Yes. Anyway, other than that, I've been Sam.
I've been Dom.
This has been Box, Box, Box. Love you, bye.
See you next week. Love you,
bye. Peace.